Blog Talk Radio.
The East Coast too. So, are you finished driving Miss Daisy?
I sure am, Hume Cronan.
I'm telling my mom about that.
Your mama loves me. Your mama loves me.
So, you know, I understand you guys are having some odd weather out that way. My heater kicked on today. So, you know, it is what it is. I believe it's 62 degrees outside here, and it's, what, 172 where you are?
In the shade. In the shade is 172. This is what happens when you live in the great Northwest as opposed to living here in the beast of the heat of the East.
Right, I'm not dying. You know, my daughter said, Mommy, what did they do before air conditioning? I said, died. Because I'm stupid like that.
Just tell her the truth.
I'm just telling her the truth. People just died, baby. I'm sorry.
They just gave children fans and made us run around in circles around older people.
Right, exactly. But
children,
you know,
didn't need to be cool.
But there's no such thing as global warming, so I don't understand what's going on with the record heat in every state but ours in California. Don't get it.
You know, it's not so much the heat. Let's clear this up right now.
It's
not so much
humidity.
The heat. It's the lack of cold. But it is in reality. That's exactly what it is in reality. So, Miss Kamal.
Yep.
And Mr. Yale Beverly. Circle of Sanity, back at it again, right before the 4th of July.
Holla!
The birth date of this great United States of America we live in. Could we be more blessed?
Yeah, 72 degrees.
See, let me explain something to you. We don't mind the heat too much. I mean, we have AC. It's when these killer storms come through we've been having. And I should just say this right now to get it out the way, just in case. They're predicting another storm, Stormageddon, to hit Baltimore within the next couple of hours. So,
shut it up.
It
but
could
I mean,
be
you
possible
know, I mean,
that you could be on the air on your own again.
You don't want me to do that. That is payback like muffa.
I was without power for an entire weekend until Sunday morning.
It didn't stop sending me stupid text messages.
Well, that's because, you know, I knew you wanted to be involved in my life at all possible, in every which way possible.
In all the tomfoolery.
So,
but, you know, what you're saying is it's not the heat. It's the lack of electricity. It could be 107 degrees outside for all I care, as long as I got some electricity.
Right. Something got to be blowing.
Yes,
and
indeed.
It was no fun. Here. I can't tell you how much food I lost, how much
Well, if you stop filling your frying pan up with 9-11 pieces of chicken and fry it at once, you wouldn't lose all that food. I'm just saying.
You hating because you didn't get any of my fried chicken.
That could be. That could be.
You just mad.
As angry as.
You just not happy. Because I can cook. Lord knows, as God is my witness, I know that birds can fry.
Yes, ladies, he's single, he's neat, and he can cook.
Yes.
And he's
kind
of funny.
Yes, not neat. As anyone can tell you, I'm organized, but not neat.
Okay, there is a difference. However, look, he does yard work, y'all, and
yeah,
laundry.
Yeah, yard work, kitchen work, keep a clean
yep,
bathroom.
Yes, laundry, and he organizes the kitchen,
yep.
And he does the dishes, and he
yep.
cooks.
Yep.
And when he washes his behind after he washes his face.
There are times when you need to do these things, and there are times when they're not necessary. And I'd like to say I take a shower every month whether I need one or not.
I ain't going to touch that one.
Yeah, a lot of people say that to me. I don't know why.
But the most important thing I said of that sentence, well, the second most important thing I said of that sentence is, you are single.
That has its drawbacks. I mean, no, I'm not married. I am married to an idea and an ideal. But as I'm
for
sure...
For all intents and purposes, as a woman would care, you are single.
Yes. But I'm not ready to mingle.
Oh, sure you are.
No. No.
Sure you are.
You know how much grief I got last week?
Yeah, who's going to help you watch them kids?
Both of my kids or one of my kids?
Well, the one that's stateside and the one that's in Egypt.
Well, you know, you have me going in so many different directions right now. Let me address.
Sorry. Proceed.
Let me address the trouble I got into for intimating that I was gorgeous when I was clowning you last week. There are some people who actually thought I believed that about myself.
I don't even remember you saying it.
I mean, it was a throwaway line, but that's what happens when you're...
You know I don't pay attention to half the stuff you say.
Right. And that's what people need to do. Don't pay attention to half the stuff I say. But, yeah, I got grief. Oh, you think you're good looking? No, I really don't. I think I look like Dr. Teeth in the Electric Mayhem if I smile. So.
And if you know what that means, you have just aged yourself.
You just aged yourself, exactly. Either that or you just saw the most recent release of the Muppet movie. So, age yourself in both directions.
Right. Bjork, Bjork, Bjork.
You'll be you do.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Finish your thoughts.
No. It's all good. It's all good. So, yes. So, no, for all the women and people out there who listen to the show, I don't think I'm gorgeous. I don't think I'm a catch.
He just knows it.
I think I have some things to say, and I like people to hear them, and I like people to offer differing opinions as long as they keep my mama out of it. So,
you think your mom would be retarded? I mean, offended if I called her retarded?
I think my mom would be retarded if you called her retarded.
But
she
I didn't. That was an accident. I love you, Ma.
I have a couple friends who are on my grandmother's hit list. So don't get on my mother's hit list, Kamal. It's really not a pretty sight.
No, I don't want to be. I love her so much.
Oh, goodness gracious.
She got the pretty feet.
Yes, she does. And she knows how to kick people with them. It's what she do, y'all. It's what she do. is what she do.
I believe it. So, shall we proceed with what we didn't get to last week?
Yes. Let's talk about Penn State.
Do we have to?
Well, you just brought it up.
I know. Because you said we were going to talk about it, but it makes me just so feel so dirty.
Well, dirty is as dirty does. But let's talk about Penn State. Let's address Penn State, and hopefully we can move on. As America has not, because you know the latest is that Louis Free came up with some emails that prove that people knew what they said they didn't know. But
we knew that. Anybody with an ounce of sense knew that.
Right, right. And, you know, my contention is the Board of Trustees and the alumni for Penn State and the people running things at Penn State refused to address the issue of Jerry Sandusky's problem because it was going to cause a problem with the Penn State football program and the need for those in power to keep Joe Paterno as the winningest coach in college football and on track to break the record for winningest coach in college football history.
That is ridiculous.
Kamal, as a non-sports person, you questioned how they knew that 20 years ago.
Well, first of all, I'm not a non-sports person. I know that it's currently football season, but to your point, go ahead.
Okay. We'll just let that one slide because it is currently indoor football season. But
I know they're playing football somewhere. I mean, in England, football is soccer, so there.
Yeah, that's true. And in England, good oral hygiene is not necessary.
All right, I meant hockey. Go.
If you look at the timeline of what was going on 20 years ago when it was first discovered that Jerry Sandusky had a thing for little boys' things, the football coach with the most wins in college football history was Eddie Robinson down at Grambling University. Now, as I've written about in the Nightlifer newsletter, there are just so many people who did not want Eddie Robinson to have that record, which had been held by Bear Bryant, the coach at Alabama, so that it was impossible for them to get their mind wrapped around a black man holding this record. They called Eddie Robinson the winningest coach in black college football or non-Division I college football or anything to put an asterisk by his name. And when they realized they couldn't do that because they were going to taint some of the wins of Bear Bryant as well, who didn't start off at Alabama, they gave Eddie Robinson the title as winningest coach in college football history. Now, during this time period, you had Florida State, coached by Bobby Bowden, and Penn State, coached by Joe Paterno, as two of the longest tenured coaches at one college, and they both were vying back and forth for who had the most wins. There was no way they were going to interrupt that streak because on an average of 8 to 9 wins per year, which everyone was expecting both programs to get, one of these two was going to emerge as the winningest coach in college football.
And see, my thing is, while I don't completely disprove your theory, it just seems to me this is a little stretch for them to have the foresight that long ago. I mean, if we were talking 5 years ago, I'd be, oh, shoot, yeah. But 20 years ago, I'm just like, isn't that kind of a stretch?
No, not when you looked at what the most wins number was and how long it would take to get there and what they were looking at the programs.
Well, how old was Paterno? I mean, wasn't
he
like 90?
He died last year. He was 116.
Right. So, I mean, how could they have even known 20 years ago? Because he was 122 then. That he was going to make it in 20 years to, or, you know, however many wins it was going to take.
Well, they projected. I mean, it wasn't so much that he would end up with the record, but they were hoping. But he was neck and neck with Bobby Bowden at the time for the most wins in Division I.
Well, I mean, so they had to think, okay, well, he is, you know, only 73 now. So, and we're sure he's going to live to be 93.
Well, it wasn't so much a matter of wondering how long he was going to live. It's just you looked at the Penn State had consistently for 20 to 30 years been putting up 10, 12 win seasons. No one was willing to project that they would not continue to do that. They would have lean years. They probably figured in 10 to 15 years he'd have the record, even if, you know, a couple more national championships and the program was the program and one of the cleanest, I use my quote fingers, cleanest programs in college football, no NCAA violations, no scandals.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they still had to bank on him being as old as he was at the time, living long enough to fulfill this particular task. And
not only
that's what I'm saying.
Project that he would never have any problems in his program. And when you look at college football today, you know, in the 40s, the 50s, the 60s, the 70s, and into the 80s, it was no stretch to think that any college football coach would be the head of their program for 10, 15, 20, 25 years. Nowadays, if a coach gets 10 years in any college and wants to stay 10 years in any college, it's a stretch. And Paterno had been head coach at Penn State since the 50s. So they were not – I mean, you got to look at this record as something that will – whatever it would end up being is a record that will probably never, ever again be attained. It was worth the risk, not in my mind, but worth the risk in the minds of those that be to try to get him that record, try to get he or Bobby Bowden that record. Because they know no one will ever touch that. No one will ever coach as long as those three gentlemen coached and the people before that again to get those records, to get that record. It's just not going to happen. So take your shot now and see what happens. And that's what they did.
So why do you think it'll never happen again?
Because no one's going to coach for 50 years anymore. No one's going to – in order to coach for 50 years, you have to start coaching in your 20s and stay in college coaching for 50 years, and no one's going to do it anymore. The money's too great to go to the pros when those opportunities arise. The opportunity to jump programs, people get burnt out. It's just never going to happen again.
And how many – what is the record, by the way?
The record's a large number, and I knew you were going to ask me that, but since I was flying to get home, I don't have the numbers in front of me. But I will look it up. But it's just a number that's just not probably going to be touched anymore. It would take an extraordinary effort by an extraordinary coach.
Okay, I'll look it up.
I hear you typing. I hear those fingers moving.
What do I look under? List of NCAA football records?
His record is 409 wins. 409 wins.
And how many games do they play? How many games do they play a year? 22?
No, honey. The 10 to 12, depending on the school and the program, sometimes 13, 14, if you consider bowls. And now they're going to raise the bowls. They're adding two more rounds of play. They're adding playoffs next, starting in 2014 for Division I college football.
Well, what's the chance of them increasing the number? Because the NFL, they do, what, 32 games a season?
No, they do 16 regular season games a season, and there's talk of taking it to 18, but there's 16 games in a season.
Didn't there used to be 12?
Before you were born, there were 12 games in a season.
Are you sure? It was before I was born. I was born in 1987.
Right, yes. Yes.
Did you see how I had to
math
started real quick?
Coaching at Penn State.
Did you catch the pause when I was doing the math?
You just shoot right past it because you must be, you know, on those bath kids again, bath salts.
Right. I was like, that means I was born in 85. No, 86. No, 87.
So Joe Paterno started coaching in Penn State in 1950 as an assistant and took over the program in 1966 and coached from 1966 to 2011.
And that's
and
where he got those wins between he got those wins between 66 and 2011. I mean,
right.
56 and 2011, okay.
Yeah.
Or whatever you said. Okay. Well, I guess it's not passable.
Yeah, I mean, it could happen, but it's going to be a hard number to climb, but it was definitely worth the risk of pushing aside this quote-unquote minor issue with an assistant, you know, sacrifice the innocence of these children so as not to tarnish the reputation of Penn State and Joe Paterno. And as I stated in the Nightlifer, there are programs out there that are considered the Holy Grail, the Mount Rushmore, that, you know, there should be no scandals and never have been any scandals, never will be any scandals. And those schools 10, 15 years ago were considered Penn State, Michigan, Notre Dame, Ohio State, USC. And now those programs, all of them have had tarnishments or tarnished. Yeah, is tarnishment a word? Their programs
you're
and their
asking
reputations
me?
Have been tarnished.
You're asking us to certificate?
So in every shape or form, no one is clean anymore. And the problems that have arisen throughout the years, whether it be cheating scandals, whether it be recruiting scandals, pay for play, whatever, none of those had ever reached Penn State, and Penn State always consistently graduated most of their football players.
Well, I mean, here's what I don't understand, because I dated a dumb football player. I knew there was something wrong with that Kool-Aid,
because
the brother couldn't read.
And that's not why you dated him. You weren't looking at his literacy.
No, I didn't date him for his brain. But that's
right.
Not the point. That's not the point. You know, he's passing all his classes right along with me, and I'm like, he can't even spell obstacle for future Kate. How is he passing these classes?
Because he could block better than you.
Yeah.
He probably could tackle pretty well, too, but we're not going to go down that road with you today.
Yeah, yeah, he got an A-plus in tackling.
There you go. But
right,
college football, that's
the point I was going to make. I mean, you know, I can't speak to, like, out-and-out corruption, but I can speak to players being, you know, passed for the sake of the game.
Right, and don't get it twisted. It's not the sake of the game for the purity of the game. It's because college football, without equal, generates huge amounts of money to major colleges and a lot of colleges in this country. I mean, we're talking millions and millions of dollars, and wins equals attendance equals television rights, ratings. That's why all these conferences are melding into super conferences now, why schools are jumping traditional conferences they've been in 30, 40, 50, 60 years. They're all going after that dollar. And
so where does the money go? I mean, honestly, like I went to San Diego State. At the time when I was going to San Diego State, okay, they did okay in football. You know, they weren't, you know, ginormous. But
they probably had Marshall Faulk.
They did. I actually went to school with Marshall.
Okay.
Or Dutta, as he's known by his close circle of fans like myself.
Mm-hmm.
I went to Marshall, and what was that big, tall? And that's not the football player I dated, by the way. What is the big, tall guy, like the pitcher for the Padres? And he was like 6'6". McGuire.
Mm-hmm, McGuire's brother.
Yeah, I went to school with McGuire's brother. Anyway, I mean, at the time, I think it cost us $3,000 a year. Marshall's very smart, by the way. It cost us like $3,000, I mean, not a year, a semester. Was it? No, it was $1,900 a semester to go. Extrapolate that out, you know, our stadium was packed all the time. Where was that money going?
The stadium was packed all the time because Marshall was a phenom. When Marshall hit as a freshman and set records and was running roughshod over everybody, he generated interest in San Diego State's program, which had not been there before.
Well, slow your roll now, Paco, because my aunt was at San Diego State 6 years before I was, so I was going to San Diego State games from 1982 until I graduated. Well, I didn't graduate from San Diego State. I left San Diego State and graduated from San Diego State. And, I mean, the football stadium was, you know, fairly packed all the time. Now, granted, you're correct in that it got, you know, sold out when Marshall was there. But, I mean, it wasn't, you know, three of us holding a banner and a dog every game prior to that. So, again, I mean, where does the money go?
And that happens across the country. There are stadiums that are filled out. Sold out, but when you start getting national recognition and television, it's ESPN starts showing up to televise the games, and there's buzz in Sports Illustrated and you know, all the other major sports networks start coming to see what's going on. It's because you have someone special, and Marshall was special, and though the stadiums were probably filled out when you were going there, when your aunt was there, they weren't on television. If they were, it was every now and then. It wasn't a consistent buzz. Marshall was
right. No, I agree. We went to like one of the bowl games before Marshall, I think.
Right.
And you know, it wasn't even. I don't even sure it was a bowl game. I don't think we were in the bowl game league at the time.
Everyone goes. I mean, everyone can go to a bowl. It's just, you know, are you going to the Rose Bowl? Are you going to...
Okay, yeah, no, we didn't go to the Rose Bowl. We went to somewhere with BYU. I think we played in Hawaii. I don't know, is there a Hawaiian Bowl? Is it called
the
Hawaiian Punch?
There's a couple bowls in Hawaii, but back then, yeah, there was...
The Hawaiian Punch.
Yeah.
So, but I mean, again, my chief question is, where is all this money going? I mean, if you're packing out a stadium and you've got television rights and stuff like that, you know, I can understand, you know, some of the money going to scholarships. But if you're going to a state school, you know, the scholarships aren't going to be as big as if you're going to, you know, Yale or Princeton or whatever.
Well, I mean, that's a twofold question. So let me address, first of all, even if it's a state school, when you have bowls that you're invited to, major bowls, not the Weed Eater Bowl, which, sad to say, has become a relatively bigger bowl. But if you're going to, like, Bob and Nancy's Backyard Bowl, you're getting money for the program, couple hundred thousand dollars. But if you go to like a Cotton Bowl or a Sugar Bowl or one of these huge bowl games, there are literally millions of dollars that are given to the school's athletic program and in concert to the school for improvements that takes some of the weight off of the state to maintain things. You'll see new buildings going up. You'll see improvements all over the campus if things aren't corrupt. That money comes in, and that money is generated for those programs.
Okay. Well, I didn't see anything in particular. I remember they, you know, renovated the library at one point, and they added like a communication school. So is the money supposed to benefit the entire athletic program? So supposedly going to provide scholarships for baseball and rowing and, you know, volleyball and whatever.
Stuff like that is ancillary, but no, it's mostly supposed to go to university, and it helps with other things, other academic pursuits of the university, endowments. All that goes into when you have a successful college football program and you're bringing in millions anyway, and even if the stadium's full, at least when I was in college, all students go to the games for free. If you have a student ID, current student ID, you go to the game for free. But then you have alumni coming back, and it generates buzz. You got commercials. The commercials go from Bob's Appliance Shop to major car dealerships, to Coors Light, to
you know, Allstate Insurance, Aflac Insurance, all these people start wanting to advertise the games now, and that's even more money. So it's a big deal.
You know what? I honestly don't remember if I paid or not. If I did, it was something really tiny, like
$1
or something.
Yeah. But then you got concessions on top of that. That's money. I mean, the students go for free, but everyone's paying $6 for a hot dog. I have a caller. Looks like we have a caller calling from the 410 area code.
That was
Hi, caller, you're on. Maybe caller doesn't want to be on.
We play this easy. Caller can go back to just listening. If if you want to add something, please press 1 on your phone, and you will know that you want to make a comment or ask a question. So anyway, so that's the deal with Penn State, in my opinion. They kept everything hush-hush so that Joe Paterno could continue his legacy. The program could still continue to be clean. The networks and everyone wouldn't run, and it'd still be that cash cow coming in for Penn State. Don't want to kill the goose that lays the golden eggs just because you got one guy who's molesting children. It's sick,
right.
But it is what it is.
So I'm looking at San Diego State right now, and there's only 6,400 student tickets available for each game. So it's first come, first serve.
Okay. And San Diego State program, but they're not on the national scene like they were when Marshall was there.
Right, that's true. And like I said, I can't remember if I paid for tickets or not, but I know it had to be cheap because I wouldn't have gone otherwise. Because, you know, I was living off of Top Ramen and celery.
Which I like to call salad. So
Carla
has a question now.
Okay.
Hey, Carla, we're going to give you another shot.
No one hit any buttons to be in the queue.
Okay. But I do see the question mark up on the on my screen. So I'll let you go back to being quiet.
I'll do that.
Okay.
What's up, cuz?
You know what happens when you let your folks? No, I don't know. When you let people touch telephones, probably when they're playing Words for Friends, you never know what happens. Okay, so let's move on. We've discussed, we've exhausted
this topic. I think we've talked about it for a half hour.
Yeah, that's good enough.
That's my sports quotient for the year, by the way.
Yeah, because you live in Seattle now, and I don't even want to go down that road about Seattle Seahawks and Pete Carroll being the former coach at USC and what he did to that program. A lot of wins.
Who?
A lot of controversy.
Who?
Pete Carroll is head coach now of the Seattle Seahawks.
No, Seahawks, what's that?
Right. It's those birds that you go fishing for.
Now, you know I'm a Raider fan, so don't even start that mess.
Yes. Rest in peace, Al Davis. Now your team will start winning again.
Loved Al Davis and his crazy behind. Oh. Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Remember when he mooned everybody on national television? Remember that one?
Nah.
Love that man. Because do you know how many times I've wanted to moon people on national television?
Even after the last time you mooned people on national television?
Yes. My butt's cuter now.
Mm.
Go ahead, fool.
So let's talk about the major hot topics today. What are the major hot topics today? I have a few suggestions, but let's start with the Supreme Court decisions that they came out with this past week.
You know I was doing the Roger Rabbit, right?
When you moved.
And the George Jefferson.
When you moon people?
No. When the Supreme Court decided to prove that they aren't as partisan as you and I have been complaining about since Bush stole the election, was selected president.
Right. Okay. So were you doing your running man Roger Rabbit dance for the immigration decision?
It's a start.
Okay.
It's a start. I might have done like half a Cabbage Patch and a little bit of the WAP.
So what do you think of the immigration decision, Arizona?
Oh my God, WAP the dance! Remember, it's called the that dance called the WAP. That's what I mean.
Yes, I'm sure. I'm sure Chief Justice Scalia is not upset with you now.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
So what do you think of the decision of the Supreme Court to come down on the side of the Arizona law? Yeah, that's what pretty much I thought too.
I'm, you know, I think I said this last week. Didn't I want to cut Arizona with the with a saw from the rest of the United States, from the rest of the lower 48? I mean, it's just so ridiculous. I mean, the argument all along has been, how can you just look at somebody? I mean, well, I guess they do it to black people all the time. But how can you just look at somebody and decide that they're up to something? Or, well, not up to something, but in this case, not a citizen of the United States. How do you do that?
Well, I think they call it profiling.
Right. But, I mean, you know, my baby is brown. She knows that she just cannot go to Arizona. Mexicans will stop on the street and start speaking to her in Spanish.
Yeah, I know people that happens too.
You know, and she does not have one drop of Hispanic blood in her body. None that I know of course. But, I mean, you know, the point being, and we've already seen what happened. Remember the Obama administration sent that girl to Colombia, and she's American and black on top of that?
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. You know, stupid for her that she picked the name of somebody who had a record. But, I mean, how, you know, there's just so many different ways to fail on this particular issue.
Right. It would just... I think on the surface, by saying that police officers can stop someone for a legitimate reason, which we all know they can generate their own legitimate reason.
Right, exactly. Legitimate is in the eyes of the beholder. I mean, they can just sit there and just make up anything. Oh, well, he was jaywalking. Oh, well, I saw him looking oddly at this car like he was going to break in. Oh, she was casing the house. I mean, you know, they can come up with any number of falsehoods and then use this to harass people, harass American citizens.
You're
left-hand.
You know,
I mean...
It wasn't on what, long enough before you made your left-hand turn.
Right, right. I mean, what if they wake up one morning, some crazy right-wing guy in the Congress decides that, you know what, people who have blue eyes are inherently evil. So over the course of stopping somebody for jaywalking, if they happen to have blue eyes, I want you to pull them aside and question them a little longer. I mean, that's how ridiculous this is.
Well, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And I think the deeper issue to me is this country has made it increasingly easy for immigrants, whether illegal, legal, naturalized, or whatever, from Spanish-speaking countries to be comfortable here in America. We have signage, we have labeling, we have bilingual street signs in some places now for Spanish-speaking immigrants and naturalized citizens to be comfortable.
But you know what? We don't even have to go that far. I grew up in San Diego, California. You know, San Diego, St. James is what that means. El Cajon, Escondido, you know, Los Angeles, San Francisco. The entire, all of California is born from Hispanic culture, as much as they want to deny it. I mean, I'm attached to Baja California.
Yeah, you are. But until recently, maybe in California, but across the nation, you didn't see second labeling on Dove soap that was in Spanish.
Well, On your end of the coast.
Right.
Because on my end of the coast, even outside of California, I mean, I've always lived on the West Coast, dual language. And up here, sometimes it's trilingual. Sometimes you'll find something with English, Spanish, and French because they're so close to the Canadian border, but that's a whole other argument. I guess the point I was trying to make is, you know, all this, you know, you're here in America, speak American. You know, that whole business. You know, people who live in San Diego County on El Cajon Boulevard will open up their mouths to say that, or go back to your own country. I'm sorry, you said that from where? You said that from La Cienega in Los Angeles? Okay, got it.
But my point is now you have these provisions made for Spanish speaking people to be comfortable here. But now the Republican base is incensed that they're here in the numbers that they're here. I mean, never in my recollection of this country, in my history, have I seen mass Korean second signage, mass Japanese, Italian. You know, you haven't seen it like you see it for Spanish speaking immigrants.
Yeah, not to a large extent, but over here on the left coast, you do see some, you know, dual, triple, quadruple language signs. But
right, you see that now.
Your point still stands.
Right.
I think it's been over the last 15 years that we've seen an insurgence. But you know, I mean, I don't understand why people are getting so pissed about the number of Hispanics here. I would wager that some of them might be pissed at the number of Americans here.
Good point, and I agree. And then, as I stated the other day, if you look at it, well, the numbers just came out that the number one immigration group in America now is Asian. So,
and you know, up here, the Russians are in full effect.
Russia from my window.
Right. The Russians across the street from my house, there's like 9/11 of them living in there. I mean, and I'm not even trying to be prejudiced or anything, but culturally, from what I've seen, they will have like 12 kids and all be in one house. And they know how to work the system like I have never seen in my life. And, you know, the mouthpieces always want to attack the brown illegal immigrants.
Yeah.
Be they Mexican, Haitian, you know, whatever. Insert the darker skinned person here.
Right.
Whereas from my perspective, you know, half the kids in my daughter's school have Russian last names and do not speak English as a first language. Some of them do not speak English at all. One of my tasks when she was in kindergarten was teaching the two Russian kids how to do their letters and alphabets in English. And I don't speak Russian. I did my best. They might have caught a cuss word or two, but, you know, I'm only human. And then, you know, they all know how to do the welfare and do all of this stuff. And on a side note, the Russians that I run into, they don't like black people.
No.
You have not lived until you've been called nigga by a little 14-year-old Russian boy that you cannot choke out.
Okay, why not? I'm sorry.
Because I wasn't trying to go to jail that day.
I didn't mean to say that. I meant to say, of course not, what I meant to say.
Right. But, I mean, so, you know, back to my original point, I don't understand. I mean, you know, I understand. But I understand why there's so much, you know, placed on Hispanic illegal immigration when I'm just seeing almost just as much as white immigration up here. And, by the way, these people up here that I see, they're not paying nobody's taxes, and that's the truth. My neighbor is a mechanic out of his garage. He don't have no business license for that.
Well, see, but here's the thing, Kamal. Here's what it all comes down to, is those people on the right who are in power forget how this nation was founded. Everybody here except the native peoples immigrated to this country. And whether...
Or with drag kicking and screaming.
Drag kicking and screaming. But no one except the native peoples of this country can trace their roots back to before there was history. Except the native peoples. And to be against an influx of immigrants is hypocrisy at its finest, and that's what they do. We don't want them here in our country. Well, it ain't your country. It is now, but it's not originally. This land is not your land. Not from California to the, you know, New York mountains or however the song goes. I know I should know it, but I don't. You know, there's no need to be.
I think it's amber wavy grain. Amber wavy gravy.
That's when I thought it was safe to let you fly on your own. But you get my point. I mean, they're going to come up with laws to protect what they think is theirs by birthright, and it really is not theirs by birthright. This country is founded on open borders. We have a statue in the harbor of New York City that says, give me your tired, your weak, your people who have, you know, an opportunity.
You're poor, you're hungry, as long as they ain't black.
So let these people come, and let's keep making America what America is. It's the melting pot. Or as Bill Murray had said in Stripes, we're the mutts of the world.
What?
Our forefathers.
You're wrong for bringing up Stripes. Because in France, it's Wednesday.
Every decent country in this world.
And that's a fact, Jack.
Fact.
I hate you for bringing up Stripes. I really do. Because you and I are the only people on this planet who can quote Stripes backwards and forwards.
Now, I have a friend named Malcolm. I wish I could catch up with Adam. Adam and I could do Stripes and Caddyshack to no end. Back in the day,
we were Caddyshack.
Stupid about it. Really, really stupid about it. So that decision, I think, will remain controversial for the long term, more so than the short term. And then we have to look at the big decision, Obamacare.
How Patrick get it? It's constitutional, bitches.
Unless you want to be Rand Paul. Rand Paul famously said, and I still can't believe he came out of his head with this.
Right. Go ahead. I'll let you do the honors.
Just because the Supreme Court ruled for it doesn't mean it's constitutional.
Right. Just because.
An elected official.
Just because I have on a shirt doesn't mean it's a shirt.
Just because it's raining doesn't mean it's wet outside.
Right.
This will show you just how crazy they are about this issue. It hit them out of left field. They were so sure they were going to win. And if you read, again, shameless plug, if you read this week's Nightlifer, talk about it. They were so off guard that CNN and Fox News reported it as, yes, we won. Obamacare is unconstitutional. Yes, it says right here in the first couple of lines.
Except for it doesn't.
It does in the first couple of lines. It says, as it's framed, it is unconstitutional. However.
Colon. Semicolon, comma, and period.
Page 2. Continued. Continued on next page means you got to keep reading. You listen carefully while you're watching the lady on Fox News make the initial announcement. You hear someone in the studio go, as if, yes.
Wait, did you see the footage of Crazy Jean Schmidt from Ohio?
Yes.
When that girlfriend almost started a conga line. She was so happy. And then it was like, wait a minute, what? What page two say?
What?
And now they're all lined up against John Roberts.
Yeah, but you know what? I mean, it's like, on the one hand, I really don't care. But on the other hand, I have to know, did he do it because he believes in his heart that it was constitutional, or did he do it to save face of the court because of all the criticism they were getting for being partisan?
No, I'm not sure what his motivation is for, honestly, what his motivation was. But I would like to think, as a constitutional law professor who studied under the same constitutional law professor that Barack Obama studied under and was a protege of as well, he knew that constitutionally there's nothing wrong with trying to protect the citizenry from itself. And he had to rule that way. And there may have been that tinge that, you know, the court is so polarized right now and politicized, even more so than polarized, that we have to call it what it is. And maybe they do understand that Citizens United is a huge mess up, you know, to give or take back. I don't know. I don't know. We may never know. I mean, I haven't read his decision. I'm sure I will in the next couple of weeks. I will read it, read his, you know, what he wrote. I understand it's like 16 pages. And I may not understand all of it, though there are those who don't believe. I know people who are lawyers. There are people who are lawyers whose opinion I trust and I will rely on to help me with the big words. But maybe
I'd be glad to help you.
Explains it in more detail. But now you have Donald Trump calling him an idiot, which is the pot black.
Pot kettle black.
Right. They feel betrayed. But they shouldn't feel betrayed. The man ruled for the constitutionality of the law.
Right. You should not feel betrayed if, well, I don't know, because they gave Bush the election, and I don't know if that was constitutionally sound or not, or just partisan. So I'm
well,
not
it wasn't even constitutionally sound. It wasn't even a matter of constitutional at that point. It was a matter of we don't need to go any further. Yeah, we do. No, we don't. It wasn't even a matter of constitutional law. It was like, no, we're changing it.
But anyway, I mean, you know, I don't know what they're so upset about.
You
the law of the land, move on. Move on.
Right. You win some, you lose some. But
right.
I still love,
please go back to trying to prevent me from using my vagina the way I want to use it. Just finish that one up.
Your vagina is public property. You just can't charge for it.
Well, and there it is. I can't charge for it, nor can I decide what I want done with it.
Exactly.
It's like a public playground. And I said it like that on purpose. Since everybody gets to decide what's going on with it but me.
Well, you don't know what's best for it.
No, I don't. I don't.
You don't. This was proven.
And they're still trying to prove it. As late as this weekend, if I lived in Mississippi.
Well, as I said, if Mississippi loses its one abortion clinic, maybe it'll persuade some of the citizens from stop having sex with their cousins. Maybe. Maybe.
I hope somebody from Mississippi calls in and cusses you out. I really, truly do.
There aren't that many people from Mississippi that know how to use the internet.
Mississippi, y'all, he's talking about you.
I ain't scared of Mississippi.
Right. You know what? I was going to take an ad in the paper and talk about you, but remember that thing about how they said that Mississippi is illiterate and then they spelled Mississippi wrong?
Yes. Yes.
So that would be a waste of my money to take out anything in the paper to tell Mississippi that you're talking about them. So, back to Obamacare. Here's what I just love, and I'm saying this so facetiously. What these idiots did over the weekend, McConnell with his Fox News, Chris Wallace on Fox News, tried to get him to say, okay, you're going to repeal, what are you going to replace it with? He refused to say what he was going to replace it with. And Chris Wallace was like, well, if you repeal it, that will leave 30 million people without coverage. What are you going to do about them? He said, that's not the issue.
Right.
Oh, it's not? Thanks for letting me know.
You know, but here's what's really sad, funny, funny, sad, however you want to slice it. Mitt Romney is totally clueless to the point that the law he endorsed when he was governor is clearly and admittedly the framework for Obamacare.
He's not clueless.
No, he is, because he doesn't even know today what was in the law when he passed it when he was governor of Massachusetts.
Because he didn't care, because he was doing the right thing. He's not clueless. He wants us. He's pandering again. And I bet you he does so know what was in the law. But if he recites what was in the law, then he is admitting that he knows that it's exactly what we're calling Obamacare. And he will have to deal with his Republican people that way. He's trying to get people to forget about Romney Care. He's trying to distance himself from it. And if he makes any comments about knowledge or any in-depth commentary about his own flipping bill, they'll just be used against him.
Well, I mean, look at it this way, Kamal, and I agree with you. He has twisted himself up and backed himself into so many corners, he can only spin his way out by continuing to change his opinion on everything.
Yep, I agree.
So, yeah, I believe he's clueless, but he may be crafty. But, you know, I submit again that the pundits and the networks and the pollsters who are calling this upcoming election too close to call are doing so just to keep things tight up until November. Because this should really just be a runaway election mandate for Barack Obama. And if he were a white man, it would be. Mitt Romney is the best of what's left for the Republicans out of their primary. He didn't clearly set himself above and beyond the rest of the field. The rest
your
of
taxis
the
here again.
He was the best of what was left. You had Gingrich, who bubbled up for a minute. You had Rick Santorum, man on dog sex. Herman Cain, come here, let me feel you up.
Cain! 999! Cain!
Oh, sugar ducky.
You Beckett Stan.
I don't know, and do you know? Who knows? It doesn't matter. We just can't bomb another country because they have mountains. You had Michelle that shit crazy Bachman. I mean, and clearly out of that field, the only one who really had any good ideas that probably would have been the
and
best.
Common sense, and who wasn't crazy, was Huntsman.
Huntsman, but they didn't want him. He was Huntsman, and they already had one Mormon who'd been trying longer. So we get stuck. They get stuck with Romney, and they've had to be forced fed Mitt Romney. They had to have him shoved down their throats. He wasn't clearly the better choice. Where Barack Obama was clearly the better choice between Hillary, even though it was neck and neck. Across the country, people chose Barack Obama. Across this country, Mitt Romney survived the dog and pony show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he wasn't chosen. He was default.
Right, he was default. Again, from the movie Hot Shots, he was the best of what's left. So I don't see these people who they claim are going, who don't know whether they're going to go for him or they're not firmly behind him. Sheldon Adelson is now behind him when he was firmly against him when he was pouring money into Newt Gingrich's campaign. Now he's pouring money into Mitt Romney's campaign. But it wasn't the clear and decent choice. 4 years ago, John McCain was clearly the best choice of what they had, and he fought his way to the top. Then he threw it all away with Sarah Palin. But I think at the end of the day, and this, please understand, America, I do not advocate staying home. I still think we need to get out and vote in numbers and vote. And as they say in Chicago, vote early and often. Don't take anything for granted. But I really don't think intelligent thinking people, even on the right, are so sold on Mitt Romney that they're willing to come out in numbers for him. I think a lot of people will stay home because they don't agree with Mitt Romney. I can't see any of Rick Santorum's people coming out for Mitt Romney. They may stay home and pray while they have...
Right. But, I mean, you and I have said this 1,000 times. I bet you if Romney wanted to win over some of these voters, he would wake up and find a core. He has no backbone. And the fact that he actually agreed with the president over the Obama health care penalty being a penalty and not a tax when he was parroting something different a few days ago, again, proves he has no core convictions, none whatsoever. And it just so happens that this particular side that he has jumped on actually flies in the face of what his constituency wants him to say, but the truth is the truth. Bet you dollars to donuts next week he's going to go back to calling it a tax after he has enough blowback this week for calling it a penalty, which is what it really is. He's going to say, well, you know, what the administration is proposing is a little different than what I did in, well, he won't say what I did in Massachusetts, what was done in Massachusetts, and it is, in fact, a tax, not a penalty.
Right, right. It's either going to be a realization on his part or what his handlers and advisors will tell him to say to keep his base intact. And his base is all over the place. All his base belong to us. When you
see, you're stupid for that. All your base are belong to us. Only a true geek like myself understands that reference.
I know another geek or two that are driving around in a car listening to this program that caught that, but I won't call them out.
Okay. I'm sorry. Continue.
But, you know, when you have Sheldon Adelson demanding this from you, you have the Koch brothers demanding that from you, you have Grover Norquist insisting that you don't do this, and you have Rush Limbaugh touting you as whatever, when 6 months ago none of them could stand you. None of them wanted you. Now they have to throw all their resources behind you, and a lot of people who follow them will follow them and follow that money. But I just have to believe that the Republican Party that historically was the Republican Party when I was growing up still have a lot of members who say, wait a minute, this guy is not one of us. He does not follow the doctrine of what we've become a brand of, what Ronald Reagan saved us to be, and we can't get behind him. We can't endorse him because he's going to sell us down the river anyway. I think they have to say that. I think they have to see that. And I don't think they'll all go running to Barack Obama as much as I think they'll all stay home and go, whatever, we'll just take four more years of the black guy, and then we'll take our shot with Governor Krispy Kreme next in the next cycle. And I'm sorry for insulting Krispy Kreme eaters like myself.
But you know what? Speaking of Krispy Kreme, you know, how does he really honestly believe that he is going to be on anybody's vice presidential short list? I mean, he can't hold a news conference without calling people stupid or telling them to shut up or calling them an idiot or, in this case, all three.
It worked for Dick Cheney.
Did Dick Cheney really just go into meetings and have press conferences and just call reporters idiots?
No, but he would stand on the floor of the Senate and tell people to shut the hell up and call them dummies.
Well, he actually used the F word, but that is beside
somebody
my point.
In the face, made them apologize. Dick Cheney is the original gangster. I don't care what anybody.
Yeah, he is the original gangster, but you know, I mean, I don't see Christie and Mitt Romney having the same relationship that Cheney and Bush had. In that, you know, Cheney was okay. I don't know if he was okay, but he allowed Bush to be an idiot. you know what I mean? He did take a step back.
He was the puppet master for 7 years, 6.5 years of that.
Right, but I mean, he was kind of quiet. I can't see Christie being quiet about anything. And say what you will about Dick Cheney, I wasn't in any meetings, but I haven't heard of him going anywhere over to any of the stands and pimp slapping one of their leaders and calling them an idiot. And I fully expect Christie to do that.
Well, I also fully believe that Dick Cheney just stood up and waved his hand at somebody and choked them out until they understood the power of the force. The dark, he didn't have to get up and slap him. I think he force choked his way into a lot. We still don't know what happened in that closed door meeting with Dick Cheney and the energy magnate of this country in 2000, and what was it, 2001? Before 9/11, when he had the closed door meeting with the people of Enron and the oil company executives?
I don't remember if it was 2011 or not. I mean, 2001 or not, but I do know what you're talking about.
Yeah. And
well, it had to be because it was right when they first came into office, and they came into office in
January 2001.
In 2001, so 9 months before 9/11, so, or 8 months. Whatever. You
and
need
the
math.
He clearly said, I don't have to tell you what I said in those meetings, and we're not going to talk about what I said in those meetings. And if you question me again, I'll shoot you in the face.
And make you take the blame for it.
Make you apologize for doing it.
For allowing me the privilege of shooting you in the face.
Damn it, you bled on my new shoes.
Right, because I'm going to take your own shoe off and beat you with it.
Beat you with it. So yeah, I think Doug Krispy Kreme can do it. Expect to be. I mean, I think he's in front of Bobby Jindal. I don't know if he's in
Bobby
front
Jindal
of
Bobby Jindal is a complete and total idiot. Bobby Jindal with his ill-fitting suits is a complete and total idiot. And I promise you, if either one of them becomes vice president, I will move to Canada where they don't have universal health care.
Well, you know, all you have to do is move to Canada.
Did you catch that? All
yes,
the people
I did.
On Twitter
I did.
Who were vowing to move to Canada when Obamacare passed. What a maroon.
I love you for your Roger Rabbit reference.
This is Bugs Bunny.
Yeah, I'm reading a comment here in the chat room from my friend Ed, who lives in Massachusetts now.
Hey, Ed.
Ed is saying that in Massachusetts, you can get away without paying your universal health care if you just pay a $900 a year penalty.
Is it a penalty or is it a tax?
Tax. That's the question I was getting ready to ask. Ed, chime in. Is that a penalty or is that a tax? But to get back to that, though we digressed greatly, to get back to that, the people who need this the most are the people who are against it the hardest. You know, these Tea Party 14.
These Tea Partyists who talk about we don't want socialized medicine. I'm happy with my Medicare.
I don't want the government in my Medicare.
Right. Those Tea Party people.
Those people who say that Obama's a socialist and he better not mess with my Social Security.
Oh my God, I really am gonna move to Canada, where they won't mess with my health care. I can have non-universal health care like I was born with the right to have.
According to Ed, in his comment is, it's a penalty when you file your tax return.
Well, thanks for clearing that up, Ed.
Thank you, Mittens Romney. But yeah, these people who will go out and, you know, ride a four wheeler off the cliff of a mountain in a national park, and then, you know, need to be rescued by the park rangers and Discovery Channel, and have absolutely no way of paying their medical bills, but don't want Obama to tell them what they have to do, are the ones who need this the most. And
No, you've got them confused. The ones who need it the most are the ones who shoot their own arm off whilst letting off fireworks.
Yes, as I said, these are the same people who you see on YouTube lighting firecrackers off their behind.
Right, or fishing with their own damn arm. What's it called, noodling?
Noodling. Again, Mississippi, where you at? And that goes for the Arkansans, too.
I think we might have to throw some North Carolinians in that little pot right there.
Let's not forget Texas, those down there on the Niggerhead Ranch. You know, I think we should start a new show, Noodling for Jesus.
In Niggerhead.
Keep your eye on the road, Frank.
Whew, Lord Jesus. That's a fire.
Well, we're coming out of we're down the last 15 minutes. We gotta discuss Daryl Issa and his pursuit of Eric Holder.
Oh, my God. You know, this is like week three that we've talked about this, and I'm not saying, oh, my God, because this is week three that we've talked about it and I'm sick of this topic. This is, oh, my God, why is he still effing with Holder? That's, you know, really, what they did was disgusting and despicable. What they allowed him to do is malfeasance on the highest order, and all of them need to be impeached as far as I'm concerned, including the Democrats that voted for it, because that I have never in my life seen something so ridiculous. They didn't do this to anybody in Nixon's cabinet. And what did Eric Holder do that rose to the level of such malfeasance that he had to be put through this, that he had to be held in contempt of Congress?
Second of all,
I thought it was because he's about 6 feet, but, you know, I know?
He's over 6 feet. But he's a black attorney general for the black president of the United States, and he had the nerve to try to follow up and find out what happened with this ill-fated, ill-advised program, and then shut it down. And after being given false and misleading information from people who should have been reporting to him, he tried to fix it or maybe even sweep it under the carpet. I don't know. I don't care. It's not that important. It's not as important to as a jobs bill.
Thank you, as a jobs bill. And to quote Mitt, dag nabbit, jumping Jehoshaphat, what is really, really going on? I mean, honestly, this is just so flipping ridiculous. It just makes my butt burn. I can't even fathom this. And how about this? I'm getting off topic, and I think I'm having an aneurysm. You continue.
No, go ahead, please.
So, I mean, off topic, because it's all about Congress pissing me off. How about they can get a vote in 1 week to try and repeal Obamacare? They've got an open vote on the 11th. But 2.5 years later, I'm still waiting for a jobs bill.
Yeah.
So they can do some stuff. You know a word I was trying to say. They
mm-hmm.
can do some stuff when they want to. You know, when they want to get something done, they can hold the AG in contempt of Congress for not providing documents that will get his behind thrown in jail. They can do stuff when they want to. When they want to continue to F with my president, they can find the means to do that. But meanwhile, when unemployment's still at 8-whatever%, they don't have the time. They all need to be voted out. And if they're not going to be voted out, I want somebody smarter than myself, and there's only a handful of y'all out there, but I want somebody smarter than myself to figure out how to get these bastards out of office. Somebody find me a picture of Daryl Issa having sex with a goat. Somebody, please.
Well, he probably had sex and then ate it because, as we discovered last week, he is Lebanese.
You know what? I'm not going to hell because of you. Not today.
I understand. They sacrifice goats.
Right. Not today, Theodore. Not today.
Not
but
that
you
I'm
know
against,
what I mean? Somebody
I love the Lebanese
something.
People. Just don't love Daryl Issa. But no, what you have to do is, if you're a responsible citizen, you find out who's your House representative, find out when they're up for reelection, and as I stated in this week's Nightlifer, when you walk into the voting booth, you yell out loudly, no, you're in contempt, you're out of order, and you push the button for the other person.
And you're out of order, and you're out of order, and the truth, you can't handle the truth. But the thing with Issa is he represents Vista. I grew up down there. I didn't grow up in Vista, but Vista's part of San Diego County. For a long time, parts of Vista, the only black people were those driving to and from Camp Pendleton. The only Democrats were those driving to and from Camp Pendleton. That particular area of Vista, and he represents Fallbrook, the home of Tom Metzger. Do you know who Tom Metzger is?
Yes, I do.
Tom Metzger, for those who don't know, is the founder of the White Aryan Resistance. And I believe he lives in Indiana now, but all my life, up until he moved to Indiana, so I guess for the first 20, 30 years of my life, he lived
Sidebar,
in Fallbrook.
Indiana is the birthplace of the modern Ku Klux Klan.
Okay, well, there you go. But he lived in Fallbrook, which is also in ISIS district. And they did some redrawing and made that I think he's the 48th congressional, maybe the 18th. I don't remember at this point. I haven't lived in California long enough to remember. But whatever his congressional district, it was redrawn, and it's even redder than it was before. You know, before they would occasionally throw us a bone and give us a Democrat. That's not happening anytime soon. So short of him being voted out, I need impeachment. I need him on tape being bribed by a hooker. I need something. Somebody do something. Just get him out.
Well, you got to do what you got to do. Well, I'm going to try this one last time.
caller.
Okay.
Hi.
Yeah, they don't want to talk to you.
Notification that they have. Call at 410-70. They're enjoying it too much.
I told you. Them Joe folks. Them some mailing peoples.
Yeah, I mean, this is what you have to do. You have to figure out who it is. You have to go to the booth and vote them out. You have to launch a campaign to get them out of office. And if you're smart, heady enough, and there's no pictures of you having sex with a goat, you need to launch a campaign for yourself. I hate to blow, you know, my family's whistle, but my brother saw something wrong in Georgia and decided, you know what, I think I can do better. And he ran for office, and as we know, not only is he a successful optometrist that's going to work on Kamal's feet.
My left foot.
I can't talk to you right now.
I got so pretty feet.
Why'd you have to say my left foot? Why'd you have to go Daniel Day-Lewis?
Because I knew it was going to make you wheeze. Oh, payback.
Okay, so, yeah, he noticed that there was a problem, and he ran for office and was elected, and he's working his way to fixing things or trying to get things done. Hopefully, if he decides to make this a serious career and decides to run, you know, on a federal level and become a congressman or senator from the great state of Georgia, being related to me won't hurt his.
I sure would like to work for a congressman. I'm putting that out there.
Too old to be a page. No one's going to turn you. Now, maybe if you want to go down North Carolina and become some sort of, oh, wait a minute. No, can't do it. I'm sorry. Strom Thurmond is dead. So, but you can be noodling for Jesus.
Noodling for Jesus on the hill. You know what? I don't have to be his page. I could be his what do you call it, first lady?
I think his real first lady would have a problem with that, as would your first husband.
What they don't know won't hurt them. I'm going there to answer phones.
Okay.
And get my toe worked on.
Last 5 minutes, Kamal. Let's talk about what you do. Let's movie.
Oh, I do so much. But to your point, you know, I moonlight as a film critic. I like the criticisms. So most recently I went to see Spider-Man, and I got to say, Yale, you kind of called that one. I mean, you know, I don't really dwell in the comic book world, so, you know, all I saw was, ooh, look at the pretty special effects. I wouldn't discourage people from seeing it, but I would discourage people from seeing it beyond a matinee. I mean, okay, let's start with the things that I like. The things that I liked were, I love the chemistry between Emma Stone and I don't know the kid's name now, the guy who played Spider-Man, let's just say that.
Social Network Boy.
It's Benjamin something, isn't it?
I'm
too old to keep up with these young folks. Anyway.
Network.
Okay.
So Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy.
Thank you. See, I don't dwell in the comic book world. Okay, so Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy. I love the chemistry that these two actors brought to those two parts. I liked how they decided to revisit
the origin of Spider-Man. Now, I don't know how accurate it is, you know, but in this version, his father is working on a medical procedure that will aid in the regeneration of limbs and also rid people of various diseases. And he was using spiders as his test subject. Well, you know, somebody comes in the middle of the night and scares the family off, and Peter is taken to live with his Aunt May and Uncle Ben, and his parents are subsequently killed. We don't know how. Well, they're killed. It says they're killed in a plane crash, but that's the last we ever see them. Is that in line with the mythology?
No. It may be in line with a newer mythology, but, you know, growing up with my comic books and my flashlight, reading them in the dark in my room, we all knew, always knew there was some mystery behind Peter Parker's parents being dead, but I think they just recently explored that in depth, maybe in the last 5 or 6 years. I'm not that deep a Spider-Man fan, but the whole idea that his father was some kind of scientist working on some regenerative, it sounds a lot like the original Hulk movie that bombed with Nick Nolte and Eric Bana.
Okay.
I think they need to leave that formula alone and just dance with what works.
Okay. Well, you know, I mean, I feel silly saying there, you know, you have to suspend belief. I mean, it is a superhero movie, but more so than normal. I mean, they go to this high school that's just an all-science high school, and they're interns in this high-powered, you know, science facility, and you're like, right, a bunch of 16-year-olds are interning at this place, and Gwen Stacy, the senior in high school, is in charge of everybody. You know, I mean, there was a little bit of give me a break. I wasn't feeling the villain. I mean, I liked how he had a character arc. You know, he went from good to bad to good, which is different than normal. And other than that, you know, I mean, I was just kind of bored with it. I didn't find Martin Sheen that compelling. I didn't find Sally Field that compelling. I found that there were some plot holes. I did like the special effects, but that's the kind of girl I am. They weren't, you know, overly corny. But in the long run, and I'm being as vague as possible because I don't want to give too much away. But in the long run, you know, I think they could have done a better job. I think that while the actor who was playing Peter Parker, I think he's a good actor in general. But I don't think he was a good actor for this part.
Well, you know, just real quick, I'm going to try to do this in the last 90 seconds. Peter Parker's uncle was a throwaway character. His reason for existing was to justify why Peter Parker became Spider-Man, just like Pa Kent was the reason Clark Kent became Superman. It shouldn't have been any depth to him, and I think, you know, just like M. Night Shyamalan did with the Airbender movie, directors take too much literary license and they destroy the canon or the myth that us older comic people grew up learning to love. So,
well, and I think that was part of the problem. They tried to give him depth, but they didn't give him enough.
They just
needed
him to be the guy who got killed and let's let that be that.
Right, right. Instead of trying to build him up, but not following through completely on the build-up.
So, Miss Movie Critic, did you see Ted yet?
No, I haven't seen Ted yet. I'm working on it.
America, please go see Ted. Go see Ted. See Ted twice. I'm going to see Ted 3 more times. I love Ted.
Yes, he has proven to me how much he loves Ted. I have been inundated with Ted stuff.
People, we'll catch you next week.
Have a good one.
All y'all.
Holla.
I'm a care.
Peace out.
Good old for Jesus.
Okay, we're not recording anymore. I got a potty.